97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, you heard Fox there at the top of the hour, and this is a story that just broke about 35 minutes ago. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh has denied reinstating the Missouri congressional map that was redrawn by the legislature, meaning that the map that is in effect for the midterms is not the map that people voted on early August. It's utterly confusing. There are people that are disenfranchised, but this is not going to change. The Supreme Court reinstated the old map last week unanimously. The Secretary of State, Denny Hoskins, getting a lot of blame here, but this is where we're at, and we're going to have a old map, and that means Manuel Cleaver probably going back to Washington. This all, you know, is going to affect the dynamic and the makeup of Congress. Paul Morrow is here with us this afternoon. I don't know if that's a story that you've been talking about at all or you're dialed into, but a big story here in Missouri. Paul, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Yeah, I mean, I'm following it. You know, I haven't been really opining on it. I haven't been asked to. But look, it just adds to the confusion about what's going to happen in not only the midterms, but obviously in 2028.
It's weird for people here because you got a lot of people across the state that went and voted in a primary a few weeks ago. And the candidate that they chose is not even going to be on the ballot, perhaps, in November. So it's a very unique, strange situation. But with the Supremes not getting involved, I think it's case closed at this point. We're just going to have to deal with the old maps.
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, there's a lot of deference to the states regarding this stuff, even in federal elections. And, you know, some people may find that unfortunate, but it's pretty concretized in case law. There are ways to deal with it, and obviously they're going to have to look at that going forward. But one thing is undeniable, Mark, and it's that if the left doesn't like what's happening, they will change the rules. And you have to constantly stay on guard to fight that and to make sure that people's votes are being counted and heard, because we've just seen so many examples of this kind of thing.
Paul, I want to talk about 9/11 and your special that's going to be on Fox Nation, but you and I have not caught up in the last couple of weeks. I know how busy you were with the Lindsey Clancy case. Obviously, this kind of captivated the country, especially for the last few weeks, and with the jury going in and being there for an entire week and then having a mistrial, and the attorney, Kevin Reddington, saying some interesting things about a pardon over the weekend. But you've covered a lot of cases. This was one of the more unusual cases that we've ever come across, which is why people are going to remember this and why I guess people got so passionate about it.
Yeah, well, they're going to remember it when we have to do it all over again, potentially. Although I am going to go out on a limb here a little bit and say that a plea deal second time around is not off the table.
I'm with you.
I've gotten a side eye relative to saying that a few times, but I think those are people who maybe, you know, are not that experienced in the law. It happens all the time. Both sides realize that there's risk and that there's a lot of blood and treasure has to be devoted to doing it all again. And in light of the fact that she's almost certainly going to end up in a facility either way, that is a mental facility, you have to ask yourself, Mark, why? Why is it, in light of the fact that she's likely going to end up in the same facility no matter what, why is she so adamant about going to trial? Not only on a retrial, but the first trial. And, you know, you can draw your own conclusions, especially in light of the fact that there's a civil case hovering.
Well, and so that's where I was going to go, because, look, a lot of times it's follow the money. And there were a lot of people that testified in this trial that had pretty nice things to say about Lindsey Clancy. And had that not happened, that might actually affect the civil trial. So I'm with you. I actually think that there is going to be a deal worked out here. I hope there will be. But then you go to the civil trials, and I think there's a couple of those. So this is not going away anytime soon.
No, I think that's right. You know, and if we do, in fact, get a retrial, you know, what you're talking about now could very well be why. One of the things I don't like is this nonsensical stuff about somehow or other the husband being involved. Ugh. And, oh, he manipulated her. He actually did the killing. You know, this is on a par with the absolute idiocy that we've seen around the Charlie Kirk killing. There's no Israeli agent popped out of a trap door, nor did Patrick Clancy have anything to do with killing his children. It's moronic, and we all need to just grow up and move on.
And it's kind of frightening from this perspective, Paul, because when these things happen, sometimes ordinarily smart people say things that are pretty frightening and scary. And I'm with you on the Clancy thing. I mean, I don't understand how, look, I'm empathetic to the mental health aspects because I had a crisis myself last summer and have had one a couple of different times. But that's a lot different than, you know, letting someone off for strangling their three children. It's a very complicated case. I'm sure we're going to have like multiple documentaries that come out in the aftermath of this one. But I'm very, very curious to see what happens with Kevin Reddington next. Let's talk about 9/11 because, Paul Morrow, you were a police officer back then, 25 years ago, right?
I was a White Shield cop, relatively new within whatever that was, 5 years or so of coming in. And, you know, I worked in Manhattan. So as soon as it happened, it was Morrow, suit up and get down there.
Yeah, so what do you remember about that day? And you have a special that's going to be on Fox Nation called Paul Morrow's Notes from Ground Zero. Tell us about this.
So what happened was I got down there, and I was there just after the second tower came down, maybe about an hour after that. Seven World Trade. People forget there was the third building that came down, so mm-hmm. that was Seven World Trade. So I was actually standing beside and around serving as perimeter on Seven World Trade, and then the ground began to shake. It rumbled, and we knew from the first two having come down, that time to run. So run we did. And, you know, it was just one of those things where I was down there the first day, I think 16 hours. It's hard to remember. It was all a bit of a blur. But and then they put us on these 12-hour tours. But I became aware of the fact, as it was all unfolding, that I was sort of living through what was undeniably going to be an historic event. And so I didn't have anything really to write on. So I was writing on, like, police complaint forms and things like that. I was just writing down little notes of things that I observed that I thought were worth preserving for history because, you know, I'm a big reader and I've read various citizen soldier kind of reporting from World War II, from Vietnam, Korean War, and I wanted to preserve it. And I just thought that if nothing else for the police department, it might be an interesting document to pass down through the years. And so when I did finally, months later, have a little bit of time to myself and it had all begun to normalize a little bit, mm-hmm. I wrote it up into an article. And I kind of thought that was the end of it. I figured at some point I'd give it to my nephews or something. And lo and behold, my wife gave it to a contact of hers. It ultimately ended up in the Associated Press Features section. They published it sort of globally. It went everywhere. And overnight, I found myself the subject of some interest. It was a little unnerving, more than a little. Because I hadn't gotten clearance to publish it, and you know, I was a little bit concerned.
Right.
Yeah, and the police department's very, very sort of strict about that kind of thing. Instead, what happened was I was dragooned onto the police commissioner's staff. Ended up working in my favor. Long story short, however, here we are 25 years later. Fox has a streaming network. Think of it as Fox's version of Netflix. It's very good. They do
it's
a
really
lot
good.
Of really
Fox
good,
Nation's
interesting
great.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's cheap, too, man. I got to tell you, if people don't have it, you should go on there and buy it. I forget what it is. They run all these deals and things, a few bucks a month. But anyway, they run a lot of good stuff, and they tweaked to the fact that I had this thing, and I sent it over to them, and they said, we want to do a special on it. And then it was, you know, I had to sort of reach back, see if I can find some of my old colleagues. They interviewed me. We did some shoots downtown, a little bit of a trip down memory lane, and in an unpleasant way, but, you know, aspects of it weren't unpleasant. You know, some of it was reaffirming. Some of it, of course, was upsetting, but maybe a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit therapeutic and an expiation of some of the things you carry with you. And I just hope it serves some historical value for not only the NYPD, but maybe people that are interested in this kind of thing.
You know, I think I heard when they were doing some coverage earlier today on Fox, something like, I find this hard to believe, that one third of the country wasn't even alive during 9/11, which that seems very difficult for me to believe. But a good portion of the country doesn't remember 9/11, or they were too young. My son, I have a son that was born in 1997, one that was born in 2000. They were young kids. I have an 11-year-old right now. I'm going to ask her because I know that in the last couple of years in school, she had learned about 9/11. I'm very curious to see how, you know, school is teaching about 9/11 these days. But is there anything or any of the people that you came across that you want to really highlight for this special or something that is a special memory from back then, Paul?
Well, I think one of the things that is important is what you just said, because that was a theme of the show, was that, Paul, what would you say? In fact, I think that's the last question they asked me that is in, and I think it ends the special. They asked me, what would you say to people who were born after it or
yeah.
who have no memory of it? And I think that's so important because, of course, the mantra became never forget, never forget. And ultimately, when I was in a position to kind of choose which path my career was going to go, and I went into counterterrorism, and it ended up being the majority of my career, the 16 years running counterterrorism operations here in New York along with the feds. And, I saw it as the battle of my generation. I thought that it was going to be, I wanted to look back and make sure I said that I did everything I could regarding that because, you know, now it's kind of received wisdom that we would win. And it's not over, of course. The threat is still there. But people, I think, forget the fact that that was nowhere near a decided issue. You didn't know if these kinds of things, these kind of cataclysmic events were going to occur with regularity and how much we were going to be able to defend against them. And in fact, the first day we didn't even know it was an Islamist inspired thing. We were not that far from Oklahoma City, which had been blamed on Hezbollah or another Islamist inspired group. And in fact, turned out to be domestic. So the rumor the first day was that it was the Russians. So we really didn't know what we were into. It felt like a very new world, and you had to really gird yourself to fight it. And I did my best for 16 years, and, knock wood, I'm still here, but many are not, and, you know, I hope this speaks for them.
Paul Morrill's Notes from Ground Zero is on Fox Nation. Let me ask you one more question before you leave. There was a big news conference earlier today. A lot of people, Vicky Palladino, who is a vocal member of the Board of Aldermen in New York City, or the city council, if you will, saying that Mayor Mamdani should not show up for the 9/11 ceremonies. Mayor Mamdani, I think, says he is going to show up. But your thoughts on that? How's that going to work itself out this week?
I mean, real quick, I did a 180 on this. I felt like, look, I don't like the guy. I certainly didn't vote for him, and I don't like what he represents. He's not fooling me. But that said, he's the mayor of the city. He was duly elected. He has the right to be there. He's the leader of the city. And then he began all of this childish stuff that, in my mind, just abdicates his role as the leader of this city, at least on that day. And this stunt that he pulled by writing this nonsensical Day of Remembrance executive order, and then taking the pen with which he wrote it, handing it to the police commissioner very cognizantly, and then asking her to pass it to his lawyer that he has hired as the lead lawyer in the city, who has made a career of attacking people like me. You never sued me personally, but sued the NYPD, sued the U.S. military, the U.S. government relative to Gitmo, Bagram Air Base. He defended an al-Qaeda terrorist. He had one of his brother-in-law was on the plane that hit the Pentagon. This guy from where I sit is a terrorism
Unreal.
Apologist,
yeah.
And he shouldn't be anywhere near this event, and therefore neither should Mamdani.
Paul, very well spoken. Thank you so much. I look forward to watching the special. Fox Nation is absolutely worth the investment. We'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
right.
you. Thank you.
Here's let me play some of that audio from today, because Vicky Palladino, the councilmember, she's always fired up.
What's going on here in City Hall, and what we got representing us here in City Hall? They do not belong on sacred ground. I could go through a list of people that he associates himself with and continues to associate himself with. We, the people, do not care for Zohreh Mamdani. 101,000 names is not a drop in the bucket. Do not, Zohreh Mamdani, take us New Yorkers for granted. We were there that day. The sky looked very similar to this. Stay put, stay in Seoul, and promote your propaganda.
So there were a bunch of people, by the way, when she refers to the 101,000, that's how many people, I think it's a lot higher than that now, that have signed a petition encouraging Mamdani not to show up. So you had people who were husbands, wives of victims that showed up today, echoing what Vicky was saying.
My husband Tom was killed, 9/11. He worked for Euro Brokers. He was 35 years old. I want to make clear that our petition is not about Mayor Mamdani's religion or where he came from. It is strictly about the policies that he has today. Yes, he was a 9-year-old boy when 9/11 happened, but it is today that he stands with people like Hassan Piker. It is today that he hires people like Ramzi Kassem. It is today that he stands with an imam that was a co-conspirator of the 93 bombing. That is what we object to.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Ramzi is the attorney that Paul was just referring to.
I lost my beloved Michael Patrick Eichen on September 11th. I support the families. I feel like if the families really feel, if we feel that we don't want someone at our world-class memorial museum that's sacred and hallowed, we feel that that person should respect our wishes. And it's nothing against the mayor, it's just against the fact that we feel he wasn't even here. He was 10, he wasn't in this country. And I think he should really respect us as a, we're his constituents. I'm a native New Yorker, born and bred my whole life. And I think if someone says, just give us some 7 to 11, just let us have our peace at our memorial to really understand why we're here. We're honoring our loved ones.
Well, Mamdani says he's still going to go.
I think that the focus of memorial services should be on the New Yorkers who were killed that day, their families, the survivors, the first responders. I don't think it should be on politicians.
Well, it's going to be on politicians. I mean, I don't, you know, what Paul Morrow said a couple of minutes ago is somewhat on point, but I think he advocated his, Mamdani did his responsibility here by hiring the lawyer that represents terrorists. So he probably will show up. They did something else today. Frank Seiler, who, you know, I think his brother passed away. I've met Frank. He's been here with Gary Sinise in St. Louis. Tunnel to Towers is his organization. They had a big steel beam dedication down at Ground Zero today.
This steel has the soul of not just my brother, but of so many others. Every day we give every ounce of our energy to ensure that those who lost their lives on 9/11 are not forgotten. The men and women who have lost their lives fighting for freedom every day since, and those who suffered from 9/11 related illness are going to be immortalized for what we do.
So the numbers are quite staggering, and I don't have them at the top of my head right now, but I heard some of this being discussed earlier. How many people have died in the aftermath of 9/11? Far more than 3,000 because of different circumstances, recovery efforts that, you know, it had cancerous materials, et cetera. So really, really bad stuff that's happened since then. President Trump was at that dedication today.
When we see this deal, we're reminded that no matter what threat or challenge comes our way, America will fight, America will endure, and America will prevail. And nothing can keep our country down, and our country is stronger today than it's ever been before.
All right, we got to take a break. We're coming back. We do have Tech Talk Tuesday with George Rosenthal coming up in about 15 minutes.
Get more at 971talk.com.